This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're looking back at a win this past weekend over the Minnesota Vikings. Also looking ahead to a Monday night football game against the Chicago Bears. To do that, we have our regular weekly guest joining us, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how are you today?
Doing very well, like I am every Wednesday. How about you, Brian?
Good. Let's talk about the Packers here. This past week, they beat the Vikings 44-31. I thought it was rather remarkable, the job Aaron Rodgers did with a makeshift receiving core. You know, he doesn't have JerMichael Finley. He doesn't have James Jones. He doesn't have Randall Cobb. But yet, he still played well. I mean, did it surprise you?
Of course, when someone is as accurate as Aaron Rodgers was, you have to be a little bit surprised. But there were a couple things that led it to be not as surprising for me. One thing, the Vikings' top two cornerbacks rate in the top 12 in terms of highest catch rates allowed. Josh Robinson has allowed 89.3% of all passes thrown his way to be caught, and Chris Cook 70.8%. And then only twice Rodgers attempted passes that were more than 14 yards in the air, so they weren't a lot of very difficult passes. And so with the conservative game plan, and he still had Jordy Nelson, which currently rates as our second highest receiver in the league, so there were a lot of things to point to Rodgers having a good game in this one, but he definitely outdid even those expectations.
Well, he's working with these young wide receivers like Jarrett Boykin, like Miles White. How are these guys doing now that they've kind of taken on an expanded role here in the past game or two?
Jarrett Boykin has really impressed me these last two games. In this one, he caught all five passes thrown his way. All five of them went for first downs, and then there was another play where there was a defensive pass interference called against him as well. So he's been doing great on every throw that every time he's been thrown at over these last two games. So I think even when all the other receivers are healthy, Boykin probably deserves a little bit more playing time than he was getting prior to all these injuries. Then Miles White, he caught five passes in this game, but only one of them went for a first down. And he also had a drop pass in there, so it could be worse for Miles White, but he didn't really do much to impress me in this one.
Well, he's young. Hopefully he'll get a little bit better. So we've talked about the passing game here. Let's take a look at the running game. Do you think the Packers are wearing Eddie Lacy out by giving him 33 touches this past Sunday? And based on the way James Starks played, maybe should he be getting some of those carries or touches?
I would be concerned if the Packers continue to give Lacy that high of a workload every single game, but if there's just one game here and there that he sees that high of a workload, I wouldn't be too concerned. But on the other hand, James Starks did do a really good job in this one after the last time he saw significant playing time was really early in the season, where he was playing well in those games as well. But when you average 8.1 yards per carry on seven touches, you're definitely doing something right there. So I could see Starks having a little bit higher percentage of the carries going forward. Even though Eddie Lacy has been doing a really good job on his touches, I think he made the PFF Team of the Week this week. But I could see it being a little closer to Starks getting maybe 20%, 25% of the touches compared to what Lacy's getting.
Perhaps a little bit of running back by committee. Now, the guys in front of them doing the blocking did a pretty good job, and David Bakhtiari got a lot of credit for the way he performed against Jared Allen. But what I want to know is the performance of TJ Lang that I think has kind of gone under the radar a little bit. It looked to me like he kind of dominated the Vikings, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. First off, with Bakhtiari, he does deserve some credit. This was his fifth straight week of having his PFF overall grade improved from the week before, so that's some promising performance out of Bacciardi. But you are right that C.J. Lang had an excellent game, especially in the second half. Throughout the game, he wasn't allowing any pressure from the Vikings defensive linemen whatsoever. But if you really watch him in the second half of this game run blocking, he really did get the best of guys like LaTroy Aguia and then Everson Griffin. Neither are great against stopping the run, but when you do that good of a job stopping players regardless of who they are, that deserves recognition, and he's also someone who made our PFF Team of the Week.
Fantastic. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Looking at the defense now, Packers defensive lineman Mike Daniels got 2 sacks this past week against the Minnesota Vikings. How is he stacking up against other pass-rushing 3-4 defensive linemen in the league, Nathan?
He is also doing well in that category. I feel like I'm saying with every person you bring up that I really like them this year, but that's how good of a game the Packers had this past week. Daniels, he's probably the biggest surprise for me on the Packers this season. Out of 40 qualifying 3-4 defensive ends, he ranks 11th in terms of pass rushing productivity, which takes into account things like sacks, hits, and hurries. Almost all of that pressure has come in these past two games. So if he played as well the entire season as he did in the past two games, he would be number one on the list so far this season. And then it's not just pass rushing. I know he typically comes in those third down on nickel or dime defense pass rushing situations, but he's done really well in stopping the run as well. He has 6 run stops in his 46 run snaps. So in terms of his run stop percentage, he ranks 2nd in the league. So I wouldn't be surprised if Daniels gets a little bit more playing time in the base defense. Nothing against anyone who's currently playing there. I just think Daniels could be playing well there as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly a breath of fresh air, and glad to have him any role he plays. Casey Hayward made his season debut after sitting out for so long with a hamstring injury. But there was a pretty good rotation among all the cornerbacks on this past Sunday night. Who played the best among all these guys who kind of split time?
Yeah, they definitely had a very set role in this one. It seemed like they were switching every other drive. Devon House coming in the nickel defense with Casey Hayward coming in the other drive. And then Mika Hyde coming in just in the dime defense, which was used a significant amount, but not in the base or nickel defense. So they had very set roles in this one. But for the most part, they were all pretty invisible on the defense. None of them allowed a catch at all, except for in the 2-minute drill in the second quarter or the last 3 minutes in the fourth quarter, where all the Packers were really worried about is keeping the Vikings in bounds and keeping the clock going. So even though there were a few catches allowed in those last few minutes of the half, they weren't that big of a deal because the goal was to keep the clock going rather than preventing them from catching the ball. Mika Hyde graded out the best of everyone because he had a good tackle for a short gain, but basically all of them did their jobs well because none of them were really all that tested.
Well, we'll take that as a positive. This upcoming week, the Packers play the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. Nathan, what can you tell me about the Bears, maybe starting with how they're doing without their star quarterback, Jay Cutler?
Oh, yeah, when you're without your star quarterback, you expect to take a step downward. But Josh McCown has played a pretty good job in his 41 snaps, probably a lot better than a lot of other backup quarterbacks in the league would do. So their offense is still functional with McCown in there. Just not as high-powered as it was before. There are definitely concerns about some of the Bears' other skill players. Matt Forte has been having a great year so far this year. Brandon Marshall is still playing well. And then Alshon Jeffrey, their second-year wide receiver, is having a breakout year. So they definitely have some weapons on offense. Their offensive line has been getting a lot of praise this year. But recently, Jordan Mills, their rookie right tackle, hasn't been doing a good job in pass protection. So whoever's lining up at that left outside linebacker job, depending on who's healthy and who's not, whoever's lining up there should have a good game in this one. And then the Bears' defense really isn't much to worry about. other cornerbacks, and Julius Peppers haven't been playing well this year, and they're really thin, especially at defensive tackle, and they've had a couple linebacker injuries as well, so an untested rookie, John Bostic, will be getting significant playing time at the linebacker role in their nickel defense. So while the Bears' offense might give the Packers some trouble, I don't see any reason why the Packers' offense can't be as efficient against the Bears as it was against the Vikings on Sunday night.
Well, I hope that's the case. But, Nathan, thank you once again for joining us here on Real Bird Central. We appreciate your appearances every week, and we'll talk to you next week after the Bears game.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Nathan Yonke, once again, of ProFootballFocus.com, our regular Wednesday guest here on the show. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue our discussion here of the Green Bay Packers. Wednesday this week, kind of a little bit different with the extra day here. Normally the Packers would be starting practice here on Wednesday, but because of the, you know, they don't have to play until Monday, everything's kind of pushed back a day. You know, normally their first injury report of the week comes out on Wednesday. That's pushed back. Normally Mike McCarthy's first press conference of the week is on Wednesday. That's pushed back. So going to be kind of a slow Packers news day here. Everything just kind of shifted over. We're going to get these things on Thursday, going to get them tomorrow. But, I mean, I think the attention this week, a lot of it is going to be on the injury report and trying to get some of these guys who have been missing so much time. We're talking about the Jones brothers, James Jones and Brad Jones. They're not really brothers, but those two guys, though, they've been out now a couple games, and Nick Perry as well, so... the outside linebacker. In fact, just a brief little tweet from Lance Allen of TMJ4 Milwaukee coming last night across my Twitter feed. A little update on Nick Perry, kind of saying the how he has a, quote, chipped heel is what he's dealing with. That's what he said, which appears to be kind of some sort of broken bone or just a, you know, maybe it's not fully broken, just a chip or something in the heel bone is what, you know, Nick Perry is dealing with. But it's not bad, and there's a chance, he said, that Nick Perry could play this upcoming Monday. And I guess that's the advantage of having the extra day here. It gives all these guys, gives James Jones, Brad Jones, Nick Perry, this extra day to recover that, that they can maybe play here with the extra time off, get that extra 24 hours than they would normally have. John says on the live blog, James Jones would be huge. Brad, honestly, the way Lattimore's played, he can take his time. Yeah, everybody's getting really high on Jamari Lattimore. The way he's filled in for Brad Jones at inside linebacker, kind of playing right next to A.J. Hawk, and no doubt about it. I mean, that's interesting what's happening there. I mean, early in the season, there was no timeshare at inside linebacker. Before Brad Jones got hurt, it was Jones and Hawk, and they were the guys. A.J. Hawk would come off the field on, you know, some of the dime situations or things like that. But otherwise, it's just been those two guys kind of lining up. And now all of a sudden, Jamari Lattimore comes in, and now you're looking like they're going to have to get this guy a little playing time on defense, perhaps. And how exactly the Packers are going to accomplish that, I'm not sure, because they weren't doing it before. You know, I'm not sure who's the better. I might have to go look this up. Who plays better against the pass in coverage? Is it Jamari Lattimore or Brad Jones? And maybe that'll be the difference, because they both seem to do pretty well blitzing. They both seem to have been effective doing that in their time. And this is nothing to do with the way Brad Jones has played. Before Brad Jones went out, he was playing very well, doing a nice job. So a good situation to have, to say the least, right? I mean, no matter who's in there, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, because I mean, they're both stepping up their game, at least over the past few years that they've been with the team, and providing some solid play. So good to see those linebackers doing well. Of course, next to AJ Hawk, who's having himself a heck of a season. So, you know, better inside linebacker play than we've seen in a while. Although the Super Bowl season, when Desmond Bishop was lining next to AJ Hawk, those two guys did pretty darn well that Super Bowl season as well. So, but yeah, I mean, elsewhere, these other injuries, is James Jones finally going to come back? He's now missed his second game, and I think he's still kind of going to be on the fence this week, but we'll see how the week of practice plays out. We'll see if James Jones can finally return to practice this week. Past 2 weeks, he hasn't practiced at all, you know, let alone play. So he's dealing with that knee injury suffered way back during the Ravens game. You know, we're now talking 3 games ago. They're doing well without him. Surprisingly well. Surprisingly well. As we talked with Nathan Yonke, how well Jarrett Boykin is doing, and how Miles White is starting to step up, making a few mistakes here and there. But, you know, he's an undrafted rookie. He's going to make a few, but, you know, all things considered, that there's some positives there as well. But, you know, can James Jones step into this lineup and start to take away some of those snaps? You know, Mike McCarthy said, I think it was about a week ago, he's talking about James Jones. He was saying how he was told from the medical staff or the training staff or whoever he was talking to, said it was a 2 to 3 week injury. Well, James Jones has now missed 2 weeks. Is he going to miss 3? I don't know. It's just so hard to say. We got to wait till tomorrow. We got to wait till Friday, Saturday, see if these guys are practicing. James Jones is back out there in some capacity this week. You know, forced to guess, I would say James Jones would play this week, but it's so up in the air right now. I really don't know, but I guess I am. You know, my concerns are eased by the way the wide receivers have been playing in his absence. I mean, certainly it's they'll be even more potent when James Jones is back. I'll feel better yet when he's got Jordy Nelson and James Jones out there, and, you know, Jarrett Boykin kind of taking on a bigger role himself. So, yesterday, kind of speaking about receiving targets, was the NFL trade deadline yesterday, and I wrote a column that perhaps the Packers would take a look at Tony Gonzalez of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I really thought, you know, not that I thought that was likely to happen, but I didn't think it was likely to happen, but I thought of all these, you know, theories out there, you know, there's way more attention on NFL trades and the trade deadline than there should be. You know, for all the trades that are consummated in the NFL, the coverage of it doesn't equate. You know, I think, what was there? There was one trade in the entire NFL yesterday. I thought maybe Tony Gonzalez, that one made a little bit more sense, especially in light of this recent injury to tight end Jermichael Finley. You know, I thought with him likely out the rest of the season, and again, nothing has been decided yet, although it's, in my mind, it's a foregone conclusion. Jermichael Finley at least is going to be put on IR the rest of this season. I'm not talking about his future prospects yet. I mean, there's time to figure that all out, but I don't think they're going to take the chance the rest of this season to see Jermichael Finley back. But I thought with him being out, maybe they look to Tony Gonzalez, who, you know, he says he's going to retire after the season, but he's never been able to get that Super Bowl ring. The Falcons are doing really poor this season, poorer than expected. I thought they might entertain trades. You know, didn't turn out that way. But I'd kind of looking at the Packers' tight end position, Andrew Corliss is what he is. He's an inline tight end who's coming away from an injury and maybe not quite the player he once was. You know, he to me looks slow out there, albeit a willing blocker, no doubt about that. That's a very good thing, and he does help the Packers that way. But I'm not sure Andrew Corliss is ever going to stretch the field. And obviously you miss that with your Michael Finley. Is Brandon Bostic ever going to provide a receiving threat? Well, he kind of started to see some decent playing time this past week against the Vikings. And I was really hoping Brandon Bostic would get one catch against the Vikings just to get that monkey off his back. Just to kind of put that in the rearview mirror, and from then on, he can just go out and play football. I wish they would have gotten Brandon Bostic the ball just once. But you can see he's not really ready for prime time yet. And I hope it comes quick because he is going to be needed. And that the tight end position without Finley there does kind of worry me now. So, I mean, it's reasons like that. They need James Jones back. They need these other receiving targets back. Eventually, they need back Randall Cobb because, it bothers me a little bit that they don't have that tight end to stretch the field. And maybe Bostic becomes that guy. Maybe Jake Stoner, Stoneburner becomes that guy. But I haven't seen it yet. Maybe I shouldn't be worried. Again, go back to the Super Bowl season. Go back to 2010, or Super Bowl happened in 2011. They were without JerMichael Finley that season as well. Basically, they went into the Super Bowl with Andrew Corliss as their starter. He was kind of, sharing time with Donald Lee at the time, wasn't he? But yeah, I mean, they didn't have much of a vertical threat there, and they still got the job done. Although you had a little bit more effective Donald Driver at the time, and you had Greg Jennings as well. So they did have a deeper receiving core. But, hey, trust Ted Thompson, trust Mike McCarthy, trust they know what they're doing. I guess I'll have to, because Tony Gonzalez isn't coming to Green Bay anytime soon. So trade deadline now passed. No more trades for the rest of the season. So not going to happen. Let's see here. Waiting on Nick Perry to come back here is, the Packers outside linebackers, how are they holding up? Kind of interesting. Mike Neal is, I don't know what to make of Mike Neal in this whole conversion to outside linebacker, because when he is just asked to rush the passer and play, run defense, he's done pretty well. But it seems like every game now, teams are figuring out ways to expose him in space. And I don't know how the Packers get around that. Well, I guess I do know how they get around it is have a fully healthy receiving or outside linebacker core with a healthy Nick Perry, with a healthy Clay Matthews, and then they can use Mike Neal just in certain situations and put him in the best positions possible, where they only ask him to basically rush the passer, or at least he's dropping back in coverage less often than he may be now when he's basically a starter. Because they really need these guys. So, it's looking like Nick Perry is going to play this week against the Chicago Bears. I'm not making any guarantees, but, that seems to be the way he was questionable this past week, even the way he practiced this past week. But the Packers kind of held him out as a precaution. Those things are all kind of, pointing towards a return. And then the news on Clay Matthews as well. I'm not sure we ever talked about this. This came out in the aftermath of the Vikings game way back on Sunday. But reports I saw, who did I see report it? Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com saying that Clay Matthews would have the pins taken out of his thumb. Remember, he had thumb surgery on a broken bone there. He would have them taken out the same day as the Bears game, so this upcoming Monday. He's not going to play in the Bears game, but we're looking at a possible return of Clay Matthews the following week against the Philadelphia Eagles. So might get back Nick Perry this week for the Bears, might get Clay Matthews back the next week for the Eagles. So things are looking good there. And when those things happen, once they happen, then the Packers outside linebacker is going to be sitting pretty, you know, with those two guys starting, with Mike Neal being the primary guy coming off the bench, getting his share of playing time. And then, you know, the rookies, you got Andy Malumba and Nate Palmer just kind of playing their bit roles, but that's fine. You know, they're rookies. That's, they can do that, and they can pick and choose again if and when they do play, putting them in situations where they're going to have the greatest amount of success. So, hey, this team getting healthy, obviously, I think Packers fans are seeing that. They're seeing how well the team is playing with these injuries, you know, four straight wins now. How well are they going to play once they got a healthy team? You know, once all these guys come back, once they get James Jones in the fold, Clay Matthews, Brad Jones. They got Casey Hayward back this past week, brought him back kind of slowly. Casey Hayward only had, I think it was 23 snaps this past week against the Vikings. And they just kind of, you know, rotated those defensive backs, those cornerbacks on defense. And that was good, you know, I think, for Casey Hayward to be eased back into action. Didn't seem to have any setbacks that I saw, so hopefully he just keeps moving forward and the Packers just keep playing better and better, and he takes a bigger role on as well. So I think that's definitely that's you know what to look forward to in these upcoming weeks. Mike Levenowicz on the live blog says, quote, "It's part of the process. Everything can't always pan out. With that being said, Ted has hit on more draft picks than he's missed, hence why the Packers are contenders every year." They have been under Ted Thompson, no doubt about it. I mean, Packers have you know, been in the playoffs every year since 2009. Even before that, they had that one lull there in 2008, but, you know, prior to that, you know, when Brett Favre was at the helm of this team, they were successful getting all the way to the NFC Championship in 2007 and playoff, you know, team before that. So, yeah, I mean, it's Packers are contenders every year. And you know, this year's no different. As long as they got Aaron Rodgers, you know, they're going to be contenders. Are they good enough to win the Super Bowl? Kind of still up in the air yet. But, you know, it's I think early in the season, you saw elsewhere in the NFC, you kind of saw the Seahawks off to a dominating start, I think, early on. And you kind of wonder, can the Packers hang with these guys? That kind of looks like maybe the Seahawks are coming back down to earth now. They struggled in putting away the St. Louis Rams on Monday Night Football, didn't they? So, I mean, that's all looking good for the Packers. You got a little more confidence that they can hang with these guys. They can hang with the Seahawks. They can hang with the Saints. They can hang with the 49ers. You know, the Packers hung with the 49ers week one of the season. You know, really gave them a run for their money. And you feel too, you know, maybe if that game's at Lambeau Field, maybe if the Packers get it at home, they'll even have a better chance. And that's what this four-game winning streak is doing. And going forward, you know, the Packers are going to want to extend this winning streak as long as they can. You know, the better they're doing in the regular season, you know, the more confidence that builds. But also, you know, they're starting to build up the case now for home games in the playoffs, home field advantage, you know, getting a bye potentially hosting, you know, multiple playoff games. We'll see. I mean, lot to still to play out here, but, you know, continues this week with a game against the Chicago Bears, division rival, NFC North rival. Getting a win here will really be important for the Packers, so we'll see how they do this upcoming Monday against the Chicago Bears. Monday Night Football. What are you going to do on Sunday? Not going to have any Packers football on Sunday. It can be a little different. But anyway. Thanks, folks, for joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here, folks, at Cheesehead TV, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. But for now, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go. Here we go.